Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6 is a very well-known chapter. We know that it speaks there of the armor of God. And we know that in the context, it's speaking here of spiritual warfare. And we're going to be starting off in verse 18, where that Paul is going to be speaking here of the necessity of prayer. And then he's going to be asking the church in Ephesus to pray for him, that he's going to be giving a prayer request that, knowing the life of Paul, would seem unusual. It says here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we see here that Paul is telling the church in Ephesus of the necessity of prayer. And then he tells them, pray for me that I will be bold. Now, when you look at the life of Paul all through the book of Acts, you would be hard-pressed to find somebody more bold than him. And even that he had a life that was full of boldness from the moment of his conversion. That all through the towns and everywhere that he went, that he was bold. That he was even bold in Athens, a pagan society. And then he saw an altar to the unknown God, and then he boldly proclaimed there the gospel to them. Or even before King Agrippa, that he preached there to the Agrippa, a man with great power who could easily kill him. And then even when he was going through the different towns of the difficulties that he faced, he even spoke of this. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 2, he speaks there of the difficulties that he even ran into in Philippi. Says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you knew, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That what happened is that the Jews were following him, and then they were causing the people to be riled up and go against him. And he says, and we were bold even in Philippi. Now, I want you to note that Paul did not ask for an easier time. Paul did not ask that his hardships would cease. What he did ask for prayer for is, pray for me that I would be bold. I want us to go to another example. If you will, go with me to Acts. In the book of Acts, we'll see another example of the church in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 29, and here in the context of Acts chapter 4, we see that Peter and John, they had been going up to the synagogue, and there was a lame man there who was begging. And so then they healed the man, and it caused great consternation and anger with the Jewish leadership. And so then they beat them, and then they threatened them and told them that they cannot preach anymore in the name of Jesus. So then they go back to the church and tell them of these threats. And look what they pray for here in verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So again, here you have the church in Jerusalem that they've just been threatened, and then they get together to pray for boldness. And I want you to notate what they didn't pray for. See, if it was me in that prayer meeting, this would have been me. I would have gotten down on my knees and I said, Lord, they're threatening us. Have fire come down from heaven and consume them. Or if it was me, I would have said, Lord, take them out. Have these threats go away. And if you notice, they did not pray for an easier time. What they did pray for is that they would be bold. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what do we need to be bold about? Bold about what? Well, Paul was asking specifically for boldness of a particular message. And then that message was the gospel. See, we can be bold about a lot of things. We can be bold about our political views. We could even be bold about our viewpoints. I've even seen people get into fights over sports that I really wonder, what is the big deal about it? But they will get all bold about their opinions. And Paul was saying, well, we need to be bold about, pray for me that I would be bold about the gospel. Now, of this, we have to define the gospel. Because you'll come across many groups that they will use the word gospel, but they'll have a different definition. Let me illustrate it to you this way. My wife and I have a different definition of what a made bed is. There'll be mornings that my wife will wake up, she says, honey, help me make the bed. So then we get the bed, and I'm just putting the comforter on because I'm doing it half-heartedly because I'm thinking, what does this matter? So we're getting there. She goes, no, you're not getting it even. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, there's a seam right here. And I look at it, I go, I don't see a seam. She points right to it and says, it's right there. I go, I don't see it. So then we go there, we put it. She goes, is it even? Is it over there on the same side? I go, it doesn't matter. Let's just put it here. No, it matters. You got to get it just square. So we finally get that. Then come the dreaded pillows of how that you have to put them on. And so that she and I have a different definition of what a made bed is. Sometimes when I have this issue, whenever we wake up in the morning, I try to beat her to make the bed. So then I go and make the bed, and I tell her, you see that I made the bed? And she goes, is that what you call it? So then we have a different definition. There are many people that they'll use the word gospel, but they'll have a different definition. Mormons will use the word gospel, but they'll have a different definition. Scripture gives us a definition of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have a definition of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Paul was saying, pray for me that I would be bold of the gospel. And the gospel is defined here in verses 3 and 4, that the gospel is that Christ came, that he died for our sins and rose again. Now, anything changing of that message is not the gospel. Paul even wrote a letter of the book of Galatians where he even told them, he says, whether I or an angel from heaven come to you with a different gospel, let him be accursed. And then he even says, not that there is another gospel, there's only one gospel. But here in this gospel that we see, it is a very contentious issue of why the necessity of boldness is so important. Because we see, first of all, in this definition, the exclusivity of Christ. That salvation is only through Christ. That salvation is not through any other. Now, here we already get to a contentious issue because people are saying, well, how dare you say that there's only one way to heaven? Well, first off, I don't make the rules. There is a God in heaven who he has brought revelation down and where he has expressly said that he is the only way. And then also we come to the contentious issue here of our sin, that we are sinners. And today everyone is told you are a good person. Well, the necessity is perfection. And so then Paul is saying, pray for me that I would be bold because I would contend to you that we need this same prayer. Why? Because we have today a society that is putting tremendous pressure for us to feel ashamed of the gospel. Ashamed of what? Ashamed, first off, of the exclusivity of Christ. Scripture is very clear in John chapter 14, verse 6. What did Christ say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So there we see no way you can get around it, the exclusivity of Christ. You can try to do as many mental gymnastics as you want. That verse is very clear. But then you have a society that they'll say, well, how dare you say that somebody's belief system is wrong? That they want you to feel bad, feel ashamed of that truth. I saw this in that several years back, there's a man named Carl Lentz. He was known as the pastor of Hillsong, New York. And he went on this show called The View, you know, where you have great theological discussions. So he went on the show The View, and they were pressuring him, asking him questions about the passage in John chapter 14, of where they said, do you believe that Christ is the only way? And he was trying to evade the question. He was hemming and hawing, and they kept pressuring him. And then this is what he said, and quote, he said, well, Christ is the preferred way. Now, that is not what Scripture says. If we could be saved through any way other than through Christ's death on the cross, Christ's death was in vain. We see that Christ over in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even prayed, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And it didn't. He suffered and died because of our sins to pay for that debt. And he did it because he is the only way. But we will have a lot of pressure of society that they will try to tell you, you have to be ashamed of this message because how dare you tell people that their belief system is wrong? Because truth has become something that you can't talk about anymore. That truth has become on assault. Would you ever have imagined? I never would have imagined when I graduated from high school 20 years ago that the big hot debate of today would be of a man being able to become a woman. I never would have thought that this whole transgenderism nonsense would be something that we even have to debate. That people then would even have a hard time giving the definition of what is a woman. That you even have a Supreme Court justice nominee say that they cannot define a woman. Because we have had this truth be turned on its head. Also the body positivity movement that you can't tell people that they need a diet and exercise. So truth has become on assault. And then we have a society that will use buzzwords and everything that they can to have you feel ashamed of the truth of the gospel. While Paul, he wrote specifically of this in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is true. You have a society today that wants you to be silenced and to feel ashamed of truth. And Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of this gospel. Why? Because it is the message of salvation and it is a message that everyone needs. So we should not be ashamed of this message. But we also have a society that is putting pressure to not only have us feel ashamed, but they want us to feel afraid. We are seeing that over and over again, our society is putting tremendous pressure to have us be fearful. We saw that a little over a month ago, that there was a man who was assassinated who went onto the enemy ground of college campuses to debate, and he was killed for it. And then there are people who were all happy about his murder. And you know what they're communicating with that? That anybody who holds these views, we want you to die too. The mask has been come off that we now have a segment of our society that openly is now saying that they want you to die if you have a certain viewpoint. So they want you to feel afraid. See, that is what they wanted the church in Jerusalem, and that is also what Paul confronted of this fearfulness. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, it says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, the fear of man, the Bible says, is a snare, and people can be controlled very easily by fear. We saw that a lot with COVID. And a lot of the Christian church today, or a lot of Christians, should I put it, and a lot of churches, they today are silenced because they are fearful of losing comfort. They are fearful of losing certain things, and because of that fear, they have become silent. We have, since COVID, had 7 churches closed down and lost support of 7 churches. And a lot of that is, even in our own church, we had a lot of people that when COVID came around, they quit coming because of their fear, and then they got out of the aspect there of church. While we just heard a testimony of people in China who were raided by police, and then they're still being faithful. But yet, here in the States, we let any form of fear grip us, and we have become fearful. I remember when I was growing up in Honduras, there was a missionary that he would go to these very rough areas of town where the gangs were very strong. And he started going over there and preaching, and several of the gang members came to know the Lord. And so then the gang leaders were very upset that they were losing their recruits. And so then they went over to this missionary, and then they told him, they says, if you come back over in our areas, we're going to kill you. And he laughed at them, and he says, you really think that you can threaten me with heaven? That is a type of response that us believers need to have, but we have let fear grip us that we are not as bold as we should because we are fearful. So Paul was saying, I need to be bold about this message, but not only bold about the message, but we see here that he has a mission. If you go with me to verse 20, there of our text, Paul says this, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul says, I am an ambassador. Now, what does an ambassador do? An ambassador has a mission to advocate the interest of the country that sent him. And we have a mission to advocate for Christ and to proclaim his gospel. And Paul is saying, I have this message that I have to be bold about, but I also have a mission as an ambassador that I have to represent God. How are we at representing Christ? A lot of us have a testimony that because we do not represent Christ well, it has silenced our testimony. There have been times that I have gone out with pastors out to eat, and they are so rude to the waitress staff that whenever they pay the bill and then they leave a track, I am dying inside. Because I'm thinking, do you really think that person's going to listen or read what you have with how rude you treated them? And then there are many of us, because of our bad testimony, and we do not represent Christ well, that it has taken away our boldness, and that we are not bold for God because we have forgotten our mission. About 6 years ago, it was all over the news over in Argentina that the ambassador of Mexico to Argentina was caught and arrested for trying to steal a book from a bookstore. And it caused such a black eye, embarrassment to the country of Mexico, that they had to call him home. And the news media was even saying, why did he do this? He's a millionaire. Why did he try to steal a $30 book? There are a lot of us that we have lost our boldness because we have forgotten who we represent. But not only have we forgotten who we represent, but it seems that we have forgotten our mission. About a month ago, we were able to go visit the Infantry Museum in Columbus, Georgia. And over there at the Infantry Museum, they have the infantry motto. And the first line that they have in that infantry motto is, mission above all else. See, our mission as believers is that whether by life or by death, that Christ be magnified. That is what Paul said in the book of Philippians. He says, whether by life or by death, that Christ be magnified. That is our mission. But you know, we have a different mission for a lot of believers today. You know what our mission, especially here in the United States, is? Comfort. Seems that our mission has become, how comfortable can I be in life? And then we do not want to do anything if it makes us feel uncomfortable. One of the things that we had a hard time adjusting to is culture over there in Argentina, and is that everything that they have to do, they have this word, it's their favorite word, it's complicated. Every time you got to do something over there, and I've asked the brethren there, I go, well, how do I have to do this? They always give me this look, and I always get this response, oh, brother, it's complicated. With everything. We were already there for 4 years. We got our residency. So after our residency, I had to go get our driver's license. So I asked a pastor there, Brother Raul Fernandez. I said, okay, what do we have to do to get our driver's license? And as with everything else, he goes, oh, it's complicated. I thought, oh, what isn't? So I said, okay, what do I have to do? So I got all the paperwork I thought I had to do. So I went over there, got in line, presented my paperwork. They go, okay, yeah, you got everything. Now you got to get an eye exam. I go, okay, well, you got to get in line for that. You got to go get in the queue, come back the next day for that. Okay, so I went over there, did that. Now you got to get a psychological evaluation. To drive a car? I go, do you people know how you drive here? I'm shocked that anyone passed. We passed. It would have been terrible for us if we, seeing how people drive if we failed. But we passed. So then we had to do the psychological evaluation, even pay the psychiatrist for it. Oh, it bugged me so much. So we have to pay the psychiatrist. Then they go, okay, now you got to take a class. Okay, go back another day, take the class. Okay, now you got to come back another day and take the written test. Okay, do that and show the paperwork. Okay, now you got to get in line to take the driving test. All of this that takes 2 weeks of every day of going and doing all of this. And it's enough to just drive you mad. And then Kelsey and I are talking about, they go, there's nothing easy. Can't they just do anything that was easy? And matter of fact, after we did all of this stuff with our driver's licenses, we saw, driving through town over there in Corrientes, we saw a Burger King open up. And you know what we were so excited about? It had a drive-thru. And we were so excited, and there's a guy who I was discipling, who was still discipling, I was talking with him, and I says, man, we're so excited, you're getting a Burger King, and you're going to have a drive-thru. He looked at me, he says, oh, I guess the only thing we need now is a car. Made us feel that small. See, we focus so much on our comfort that we have lost sight of the mission. We always look at our men in uniform with great respect, even the greatest generation there ever was of World War II, and even of the people during the Battle of the Bulge there in the Bastogne, you know, those soldiers, they weren't sitting in their foxholes for over a month in freezing temperatures looking at the thermometer saying, if it goes down another degree, I'm out of here. They knew that the mission was above all else. And here, especially in the States, our God has become the God of comfort, and we have lost sight of the mission, that the mission is that we are ambassadors, that we have to have this attitude of whether we eat, we drink, do all for the glory of God, and whether my life or my death, that Christ be magnified. But it's because we have this attitude of, I want to be comfortable, and I'm going to do everything to have my comfort. Here in the States, you really think that people would get together under a shade tree just to hear the word of God? Many other countries, they have to do that. You think people would be even coming if they had threat of arrest constantly? We have the God of comfort here in the United States, and we have forgotten our mission. So how is it that you and I can have more boldness? Well, going back to verse 18. I would submit to you that today we need boldness. And the first step in for you and I to have boldness is that we have to be praying for it. We have to be people of prayer. And Paul is saying there in his discourse of spiritual warfare, he says we have to be praying. And then I don't think it's something light that Paul is saying, pray for me that I would be bold. You know, speaking of buzzwords, you know what Paul could have said? I have PTSD. Paul in the book of Corinthians, he talked about that he was stoned, that he was whipped, he was shipwrecked, all of these things. And he could have said, oh, I can't preach anymore. I have PTSD. But Paul was saying, pray for me that I would be bold. When was the last time that we really prayed for boldness? Because we are not people bold with the gospel. Because we let people silence us because it seems that we have forgotten, as Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That we know that there is a judgment coming, that hell is real. And if we really believe that it is real, how is it that we are lacking in love and lacking in truthfulness that we do not pray for people? You know what happens lots of times in prayer meetings? Now, I'll tell you this. Many times in a lot of churches I've been to, the least attended service is a prayer meeting. But whenever you do have a prayer meeting, this is usually how it goes. People say, oh, pray for my friend that they have cancer. Now, I'm all for praying for people who have cancer. But we'll have, in our church services and others, I'll ask the people, I says, oh, this person has cancer. Well, do they know the Lord? And then that question just is like a deer in the headlights look for that person. That they'll pause, and they don't know what to say. It's almost like they glitched. And then they go, well, I don't know. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, how can you say that this is a good friend? And you're praying for their health, but when asked if they're saved or not, you say you don't know. Have you never once had a conversation with somebody about the need of their eternal soul? Are we so lacking in boldness that we're quick to pray for somebody's health, but their greatest need is salvation, and then we are not even bold to speak to them of their need of Christ? You know, Penn Jillette, who was an atheist, a sleight-of-hand trickster, even despite an atheist, he says this. He says, I have respect for Christians who proselytize. He says, because how much do you have to hate somebody if you think that they're going to go to hell and then you don't tell them? Back in 2011, he went viral because after one of his Vegas shows, he talked about that he had this guy come up to him and offer him a New Testament. And keep in mind, this is an atheist. And he says, that was a good man. We have to be bold in telling people of this need, but we're so quick to pray, Lord, give us an easier time. Let us have more comforts instead of saying, well, this is a hardship, but help us to be bold. Help us to be stronger. So then that way, then through this difficulty, your gospel could be proclaimed even more. But we are not people of prayer. We want to pray that the difficulty go away. But when was the last time we got on our knees and prayed for every single person in this assembly to be bold about Christ? Because there are people that they're dying and going to hell. When was the last time you went to your neighbor and boldly proclaimed to them the gospel? When was the last time you boldly proclaimed the gospel to the people that you work with? And if you're saying, I'm fearful, then what you need to do as Paul gave the example here of praying for boldness. We saw that Paul was already bold, and if he needed prayer for boldness, how much more do you and I? That we get gripped by fear, that we can never even let this society that wants us to feel ashamed, that then we get silenced about the truth, and then we do not proclaim it. Our society is in a big mess. And I never see people all the time that they are always, oh, but everything's just so bad. And it is. But Donald Trump is not the savior. Politics is not the answer. The thing that'll make a difference in our country is the gospel. And the only way how that'll come about and make it a change is if every single believer takes the gospel seriously and is bold in proclaiming it. So then we need to get serious about getting on our hands and knees and praying for each other to be bold. Because we each have to take the Great Commission. My grandfather, he always said, there are only two types of people. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. Which are you? That the Great Commission has been given to the church. You compromise this, this assembly has been given the Great Commission. It was given there to the first church of Jerusalem. There were the disciples. That they were given the Great Commission, the disciples, and it was of each and every single person there of that assembly. So you have been also have that Great Commission as well. And you're, every member comprises of this assembly, and you need to go out and take the gospel. It is not the pastor's job or the missionary's job. It's your job. You have to take it personally. But the way how that'll happen, that you can make a difference and everywhere around you is that you each have to be praying for each other to be bold and boldly proclaiming the gospel. Because every single person in this town needs it. And the only way how they will receive it is if every single member takes it seriously and is bold in proclaiming it. Are we bold for our God? If we're lacking in boldness, then maybe what we need to do is spend some serious time in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord God, that you would grant unto thy servants boldness. As Paul even told the church in Ephesus, pray for me that I would be bold in the message because we have a mission. I would pray, Father, that you would have us be bold about this message and have us understand that the mission comes above all else. And it's not our comfort. Because a soldier has no time to be thinking about his comfort. A soldier thinks about getting the mission done. And we have been given a mission. Because we are ambassadors. And I pray, Father in heaven, that we would be bold in giving the gospel to everyone. In your name I pray.